Hello. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Moraine Park's Talent Talk podcast. My name's Mindy Boynton, and I am an Economic and Workforce Development Business Representative here at Moraine Park Technical College. Today, I have a guest with me, Bobby Miller, who is a Business Services Manager at the Fox Valley Workforce Development Board. She's going to be sharing with us information on the current labor market tools, business outreach resources, and unemployment in our region. Recently, she has been involved in reframing current service delivery offerings such as drive-through job fairs and virtual employment services during the pandemic to continue to provide resources to business and industry. Welcome, Bobby. To get us started, can you tell us a little bit about your role at the Workforce Development Board and the region you serve here in Wisconsin?
Sure. And first of all, thank you so much for letting me join you today. I'm excited to connect with your listeners and let them know more about the Fox Valley Workforce Development Board and the workforce system. Fox Valley Workforce Development Board is one of 11 workforce boards across Wisconsin, and we've got a 6-county service territory, including Fond du Lac, Calumet, Winnebago, Wapaka, Washera, and Green Lake counties. We've got a number of programs that we oversee, and the biggest and first is WIOWAS. So the board is one of many partners in the workforce system, and one of the primary roles of the board is to administer the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, again, also known as WIOWA monies. And WIOWA has three primary groups of people who can be served. That includes older youth up to age 24, dislocated workers, and adults. So for people who meet eligibility requirements, services might include things like tuition, books, transportation and mileage, childcare, and other supportive services, in addition to assistance with job search. So basically, WIOWA allows someone who's eligible for the services to achieve their employment goals. We also have some staff who work with Title V, and that is a program intended to help individuals who are economically disadvantaged, who are 55 and over. And again, they'll be achieving employment goals through that program. And we have two staff who work with individuals who are coming from the criminal justice system. So they begin working with those individuals while they're still incarcerated, and then once they've transitioned into the community. The board also has a long history of partnering on a number of grants, and that includes a couple of recently awarded grants. One is a service to communities, and this will assist with training and recovery services for people who have been impacted by opioid abuse. We also have recently been awarded a grant to help train medical professionals. And we've just wrapped up a multiple year apprenticeship grant that helped launch some new programming in the area. And we've also written and administered a number of the Wisconsin Fast Forward grants. And that's really been important work for us, as it's brought over another $1.5 million of training dollars into our region. So really important work gets done. Throughout all of our work, we partner very closely with workforce system partners like Department of Workforce Development, Office of Veteran Employment Services, Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards, technical colleges, chambers, economic development partners, Forward Service, Department of Corrections, and many community service agencies. So while some of those partners might work only with a specific group of people, all of the system partners are deeply engaged in helping people achieve meaningful employment. And we also like the fact that many of those opportunities have future growth opportunities connected to them. So we're always talking about career pathways. And we look to our technical colleges to really help shape that conversation. So that's a very quick snapshot of what the board does and some of our partners. And it sounds like all of our work is geared only towards job seekers. And that's not exactly true. My primary role is reaching out to businesses, helping make the linkages back to the job seekers, and also shape the work that is important to build our local economy. So that's a little bit about us and my role in the system.
Well, that's great. There are so many resources that I was unaware of that you provide, not only to job seekers, but to businesses. And the grants that you bring into the area, you really are doing so many meaningful things to build our talent and to help the businesses in this area grow. That's incredible. So this past year has really been a roller coaster as far as unemployment data goes, starting with the beginning of the year when it was a record low unemployment, going to a record high unemployment, then when the stay-at-home order came into place. How do things look as far as unemployment in our market these days, and what changes have you seen occur over the last year?
Yeah, so we're just going to start with a little bit of a snapshot and where we've been. So in March of 2020, statewide, the unemployment rate was at 3.4%. So it wasn't the lowest we had seen, but it was really down at that bottom edge. And then in April, we had that unprecedented spike that went all the way up to 13.6%. We had never seen that big of a shift in such a short time period. The good news is that by July, that rate was already starting to fall back to 7.1%, and by November, it had gone back down to 4.5%. That's really important to note. You know, we saw that steep incline, but then it went down quickly. So as you can tell, we've been all over the map. It's important because 5% is technically seen as full employment. Anything below that, it's going to be a tight labor market for the companies trying to recruit talent. And we do see that happening across our area. And it's also important to note that while I talk about the state level being 4.5%, in our local counties, in November, Calumet was at 3.2%. Green Lake was at 4.6, Fond du Lac at 3.6, Wapaka at 3.8, Wishera at 4.3, and Winnebago at 3.6. So, if I were a company listening to this, what would it tell me? In my opinion, there's a number of things that emerge from that data. Companies should, first of all, be aware of how important it is to focus on the retention of their current workers. And I just can't stress that enough. If it's tough to find additional workers, it's doubly tough to replace someone who is well-trained in their position. So they might need to think about things like wage and benefits, but also flexible work schedules and other factors that make people want to stay at that company. So really be focused on that. Companies should also focus on upskilling their current workers. I sometimes talk to companies and they'll talk about they've purchased a new machine and they're getting 75% efficiency. Well, there's another 25% that you could get. Maybe there's some training that could positively influence that. Even if it's not new equipment, what can we do to rethink our service delivery so that we're getting every ounce of productivity out that we possibly can? In a tight labor market, that's really critical. Companies should also start thinking about how to recruit people that they might not have when there were plenty of available workers. So if a local retail establishment is closed, perhaps a manufacturing company needs to think about how do I take that worker and make that worker productive in my factory. So continually be thinking about how do we upskill people, because again, we don't have scads of people to backfill all of those positions. And then not only get them skilled for the current position, but how do I continue to upskill them? Because we're going to have all these retirements in the future too. So it's not just the job today, it's that career pathway again. In addition to expanding recruitment efforts, I'd also caution companies from having those applicant tracking systems be too narrowly focused, that they exclude people that they should be considering. So again, in the past, maybe I could get 100% match for my position. I might need to think about 50% these days and then train the remainder. And then finally, I think that companies really need to be proactive in recruitment. You know, long gone are the days that hiring managers would talk about, well, I've always got 100 applications sitting in queue. I talked to someone the other day that said, we're trying to fill a position. We've only had 10 applicants, only 10 to choose from. So, you know, you might need to go out and think about youth apprenticeship opportunities. How do we start cultivating our future talent? You might need to do some reverse searching on tools like jobcenterofwisconsin.com. Be much more proactive in how you're going to bring more talent into your workforce. So those are some thoughts about where we've been and what the impact could be to our local companies.
You touched on some really important aspects to consider in a tight labor market, including using that data, really focusing on retention and training. Those are excellent aspects of workforce for our current businesses to keep in mind. And you also mentioned a few tools, you know, with the reverse recruitment and some of the websites you have. What are some of the other tools employers can use to find out about this employment information for our region that you highlighted?
Sure. And the state has a number of labor market tools. And the easiest way for, they call their site Wisconomy. And that's great. But the easiest way for me to find that site is I go to www.jobcenterofwisconsin.com. And then at the bottom of that page, there is a link that talks about labor market tools. Click that icon. Once it opens up, go to My LMI tool, and you'll have some widgets. And the widgets make the labor market information easy to navigate. So as an example of how to use that, recently I was talking to a company about welders, their need for welders. And they were wondering what the going wage rates for welders were. So I was able to pull up some comparison information on wages, and I did it across a multi-county area because that's their labor shed. They draw people from more than one county. They also compete with talent with other companies across that region. So I showed them what the labor market information looked like. I then pulled up the supply and demand tools that would show me how many, you know, what the need for welders was across the state, and then look at the particular counties that we're talking about, and also how many applicants were in jobcenterofwisconsin.com. And what that did for me was it gave me a well-rounded package that I could then give back to the company and say, well, here's what I'm seeing. Once they could see that, they knew that it wasn't just their issue for welders. There was a common issue across a broader region. And so that helped them make an informed decision about some of the next steps that they had to do. At that same site, there's also county profiles. And I like the county profiles because, again, companies get very busy in daily operations, right? Do they know what's happening across the county during that same time period, right? And then it really forces them to make that data-driven decision. We do this in all sorts of other things in our businesses, but we need to do it with labor too. So it's just that lifting, pulling back the curtain and seeing what's behind the curtain and why is it so difficult to recruit these days. So those are some very good tools. They're open to available for anyone to use. But if someone does have trouble with that, they could certainly reach out to me. If I can't answer their questions or refer them to the tool they're looking for, I could certainly connect them with our local labor economist through the state.
Excellent. It sounds like the Job Center of Wisconsin can really help companies to research the market, understand what the workforce looks like, and stay competitive, whether it's through wages or other benefits, to understand what applicants are looking for and who is out there looking for jobs. In addition to the Job Center of Wisconsin, businesses that I work with have been really curious about some of these new emerging events like the drive-through job fair. Can you share some details how the event works and what type of success metrics companies have experienced through participating?
Yeah, so you and I both know that the pandemic has created all sorts of disruptions in so many businesses. And that was true for us. It severely impacted our ability to do in-person job fairs right off the bat. And that's been an ongoing theme. So at the same time that that unemployment was climbing last spring, we were also hearing from a number of companies saying we really need talent. So we knew that we needed to do something different, respect social distancing, but still have some events that could bring job seekers and companies together. So we had heard about a similar event in Nebraska that had been held in May, and they had good results. And we thought that's an excellent first step, right? We've got to do something. So we took that idea, and then we partnered with all 11 workforce boards across the state. That really helped us elevate the media attention that we got for the drive-throughs. And in July, we had our first coordinated drive-through job fairs across the state. At that first event, we collected information from almost 700 companies, and we distributed packets of information to almost 4,000 job seekers. So it was an incredibly important day for us at a time that we weren't able to meet with job seekers in person. Locally, we had one distribution site in Oshkosh. We had 70 local companies represented, and we gave out packets of information, or the link, because we ran out of packets, but we connected with 400 job seekers that day. To put the packets together, we had all of our staff wearing masks and gloves and using hand sanitizer. They were put in bags. We let them sit for a couple of days, and then we once again wore masks and gloves when we distributed it. So it was our attempt to take every precaution that we possibly could and still get the information out to job seekers. We followed up that July job fair with another one in September. It had very good results as well. And then our latest effort was just 2 days ago. We had a click-through event. So very similar, but we didn't think that staff or job seekers would necessarily want to come out in the cold months. So what we did was create a compiled PDF, and then we hosted that on our website and sent it out to job seekers. Looked at our website metrics in our first 24 hours, we had roughly 500 hits to our website. So, you know, we know that there continue to be job seekers looking, even though our unemployment rate is somewhat low. And I think there are some factors that we'll talk about here in a minute that will help explain why that's happening. But we've had good results with those. And, you know, we don't necessarily always have clarity that Mindy got a job because she looked at that material. But we have had some companies report out that after these events, they'll see a spike in applications. So they're happy with it. They're happy to know that their workforce system is getting the word out about their jobs in yet another way.
The drive-through and click-through job fairs really are an innovative response to still reaching prospective job seekers and helping businesses fill those open positions they have available. Some of the industries most affected by the pandemic have been in the areas of hospitality, tourism, you know, those folks working in restaurants and retail. And many of the companies I work with, reaching them is one thing, but how do they then prepare them through training and reskilling to fill some of these open positions? What are you hearing from other companies and the services you provide that can help these businesses prepare folks transitioning into a totally new career path?
So, as I mentioned, we've got a number of programs that depending upon someone's eligibility for each of those programs, you know, they slip into one program or another, and then there could be training that helps them get retrained. I think a lot of companies are willing to do on-the-job training. You know, they just hire someone, and then they take on the responsibility of training that individual. And that's all fine. I think that, you know, while it feels like the pandemic has been going on forever, we still don't know what the end impact is going to be. So I say that for a number of reasons. For some employees, I think they've initially believed that, you know, they were subject to a short-term furlough or reduced hours. They intended to go back to their regular place of employment. I don't know that we've seen final fallout of that, right? as some of those people continue to exhaust unemployment benefits, they may be more willing to, you know, consider something different. We also know that there's been huge ongoing challenges with daycare and education availability, and a lot of parents are putting on that second hat of I'm now also needing to deal with children at home. And, you know, their need to do that has changed on a daily or a weekly basis. So as that continues to evolve, I think in the future we'll probably see some additional job seekers that are looking for something different, right? And then finally, I think we've had a number of people that have just been cautious about their own health issue or the health issue of somebody that they care for. So as we get more shots in arms, that could be changing. What does the horizon really look like? Well, you and I both know nobody's got that crystal ball, but I think as businesses continue to feel the impact of the pandemic and offer reduced hours, some job seekers are going to roll into new occupations, new industries, right? And there's some speculation that some companies have just been barely hanging on through the pandemic. I don't know how long all of those companies will be able to continue to be viable. As that continues to shake out, it may result in some additional people that need to find something else. And then finally, again, those vaccines, I think, will open up a lot of availability for people going back to work and make things a little bit safer. So after all of those things continue to evolve, really, it's only then that we're going to know the full impact. I would say that we'll continue to be nimble in service delivery. You know, there's talk going on at the federal level again about, will there be more workforce training dollars pumped into the system? Because this does appear to be an issue that isn't just going to impact us for 20 and 2021. It will impact us going forward. How do we get all those people into positions that we need to fill? And I continue to say we've talked for years about the labor market, that a lot of baby boomers are going to be retiring. So good opportunities could be on the horizon for a lot of those people. And we want to help as many as we can achieve those goals.
Yeah, that's excellent. Starting with focusing on the safety aspects and helping people with resources, with childcare. And as we watch schools returning from virtual, there will be new talent that hasn't worked in manufacturing, as an example, before. We need to look at new populations. As you alluded to earlier, many of the companies are revisiting migrant workforce, are looking at the Department of Corrections as potential new work pools, and all those need to be put on the table. And there will be an investment, and it's great that you have those grants available for companies to really train at the basic skill levels. Those coming out of retail and hospitality, they may need some more of that basic training and on the job, and having a coach and mentor on site are some of the ideas I've heard from companies. But we're going to have to look at a lot of different avenues, as you alluded to. So thank you so much for all of this great information. What wonderful resources are here right in our backyard, and I hope many businesses will reach out to you and utilize the websites and resources and grant funds, not only through the Workforce Development Board, but also we have grant funds through Moraine Park Technical College. We're all here to help businesses attract, retain, and grow talent for our region, because it really does benefit the community as a whole when we invest in our people. If our listeners could take away one main theme from our conversation today, or one major takeaway, what would that be from your point of view, Bobby?
Yeah, so recently I listened to a U.S. Chamber of Commerce presentation, and the speaker said something like this: we've got people without jobs and jobs without people. And I think that that's true on our local level, and I think we really need to put all of our creativity together and start solving some of those issues. You know, the good news is, you know, we're strong partners with Moraine Park and vice versa, and with all of our partners in the workforce system. So if a company reaches out to you or me and we need to make those connections, we're going to do that. There is no wrong door to get that connection going. For job seekers and companies, We do want them to think about making some of those data-driven decisions that we talked about earlier, right? We want people to be leveraging the opportunity to get on a career pathway that gives them something for right now, but also gives them a future path. And I think that's where we've struggled with getting some of those good jobs filled in the past. You know, if people are still thinking that some of the manufacturing jobs aren't, you know, what they thought they were, they need to take a look at some videos and find out what manufacturing really looks like these days. So, you know, and that's just one industry. We know that there are many in our area that are very viable. We've got healthcare and we've got IT and transportation. And, you know, if you're an office worker, there are some fantastic jobs that, you know, align in those industries. So don't just think that entry-level job, think all across that industry. Those are some things. If anybody wanted to reach out to one of our job centers, please call the Fond du Lac or Menasha Job Center, especially a job seeker who's thinking, you know, this sounds like I might want to find out more about those programs. We've got staff that are manning phones. Sometimes they do go to voicemail, but they can still leave a message and we'll get back in touch.
That's excellent. Your insights and knowledge on the market are so valuable to our listeners, and you have highlighted so many great resources today. Thank you again for the collaboration with Marine Park and joining us on the podcast today. Listeners, if you want to hear about future podcasts or visit old podcasts, please subscribe by visiting marinepark.edu/newsletter to learn about upcoming training opportunities as well as future Talent Talk podcasts. That concludes our session for today. Have a powerful day, and thank you for listening.